Hi everyone, welcome into the Friday edition of the Black and Blue Report, another Facebook Live edition for you. We made it to the weekend. Cindy Robinson, John the Shazer, I'm Daniel Salerson. We have plenty to get to as we'll preview Saints and Redskins at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday. And of course, the Pelicans are in action tonight against the Denver Nuggets. It's a late one, 9:30 on ESPN. But guys, we've had a very good weekends these past few times. We've had Saints and Pelicans wins. We're still undefeated, I think, since we've done this Facebook Live show. Just saying.
As far as the weekends go.
As far as the weekends go.
As far as the weekends go, we have had some good predictions, for sure.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about the Saints game against the Redskins on Sunday. It's a 7-2 Saints, winners of 7 in a row against the Redskins, 4-5 on the season. But JD, this is a Redskins team that has beaten good teams so far. They've beaten the Rams on the road. They've beaten the Seahawks on the road. I don't think the Saints are going to take this game lightly at all.
Look, they're a pretty good team. And the last time the Saints saw them, now that was a couple of years ago, so both teams are significantly different, but they laid a pretty good beating on the Saints. Now, do you remember that if you're the Saints? Most of these guys weren't around, so it probably doesn't count. However, we do know that Washington is, as you mentioned, a pretty good team when it doesn't show necessarily record-wise, but they've had some significant wins. And they like nothing better, obviously, than to come here and win a game on the road, break the Saints' 7-game winning streak. You know, who wouldn't want to do that? So, you know, it's a team to be wary of. They've got a really good quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who's going into his free agency year. Again, he's been franchise player the last couple of years. I think they're not going to franchise him this year. I don't think they can. It means he's going to be a free agent on the market. By the way, Drew Brees is going to be on the market too, but we're not going to talk about that.
No.
but you know, they have a really good offense. They throw it deep. Now, they don't have DeSean Jackson anymore. He's with Tampa Bay, thank goodness. So that takes something away from their offense. They don't have a great running game right now. Robert Kelly, former Tulane kid, will not be playing in this game. Ryan Grant, the receiver from Tulane, looks like he will be playing. He's concussion protocol, but he was limited in practice, so looks like he probably will play this weekend. But again, it goes back to Kirk Cousins with that offense. And they have a defense that's pretty opportunistic. They get takeaways. So obviously the Saints want to hold on to the ball. They've had some difficulty doing that. Even during their 7-game winning streak, they had some games where they've turned it over a little bit more than they want to. But fortunately for them, they've been able to create turnovers also. So it'll be a good matchup in the Superdome.
Now the Saints have added two new components, we'll say, to the team. In a coach and a running back, right?
Yeah, added a coach, Mike Westhoff, special teams coach, who's kind of legendary in the NFL. 30 years of NFL experience coaching, and he's going to come in and oversee the entire special teams operations because, you know, let's be honest here, the Saints have had some difficulties in their special teams, whether it's the snap hole kick, whether it's, you know, missing field goals or PATs, whether it's bumbling punts. They muffed, you know, I think three. Ted Ginn Jr.'s muffed a couple, and Willie Snead, he also had a muff. So they've had some special teams busts that they need to correct. Even though they're 7-2 and even though they've won 7 straight, you want to make sure that each and every facet of the team is as strong as the others because, you know, if you've got a weak link, at some point it's going to show up big. It's going to cost you a game. And so the Saints have been fortunate that the special teams has not cost them a game yet. But it came pretty close to being a significant part of the Chicago game where they had the two muff punts and they had the missed field goal and they also had the botched kickoff return. So those are some elements that hopefully Westhoff can help with. As far as the new running back, that'll be Jonathan Williams, and he's an addition to the special teams. You had to have another running back pretty much because when Daniel Lasco got injured, and he's got the bulging disc, had to have surgery, when he got injured and went on the injured reserve, that took away the fourth running back. And the Saints, and probably every team in the NFL, has to have four running backs because the position just breeds attrition. You get guys nicked up, they get injured, they're not able to go 100%. They have to sit out some games. So the Saints bring in Jonathan Williams to take Daniel Lasco's spot. Doubt if he'll run it a whole lot because Daniel Lasco didn't. And they've got a guy as a number three running back, Trey Edmonds, who looked pretty good against Buffalo last week. However, he will be a special teams addition. That's where he's going to make his mark on this team. And he was pretty happy to get the call.
Yeah, and he has some familiarity with this team as his running back coach in college was Joel Thomas, and he is the coach now here for the New Orleans Saints. Jonathan Williams did speak with the New Orleans media on Wednesday. Here's what he had to say about joining the Black and Gold.
First off, welcome to New Orleans. What were you doing when you got the call, and what are your thoughts now?
It was a weird process when I got the call just because Atlanta had called before and thought I was going there, and then the Saints called and just weighing the options. You know, I like the organization here, the atmosphere here. Coach Thomas was a guy that coached me at Arkansas, so I was familiar with him too. So it was a great fit.
Coach Joel had to jump in on the process. How much did he was he able to persuade you?
He was big in the process. Like I said, he was my running back coach in college, so I was familiar with him and his family and the way he coaches. So it made the decision easy.
Yeah. Now to come here for, to a 7-2 team to fill in for a guy who was on the active roster and you know your role here, but you know what are your expectations?
Just come in and work and help this team continue the streak. You know, however that is, whether it's special teams or whatever role it is, I just want to be able to come in and fit in and help this team keep rolling.
Now, are you pretty adept at special teams? Is that a role you're accustomed to playing?
Yeah, I played a little bit of special teams in, at Buffalo. Not a whole lot, but like I said, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to help this team continue to win.
Have you known much about this team this season? I mean, obviously, you know, a 7-game winning streak doesn't go unnoticed, but had you known much about them before they gave you the call?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, Coach Thomas is a guy that I got coached by in Arkansas. So, you know, me and him kept in touch here and there. So I definitely used to watch him. And being a former player at the Bills, I definitely watched the last game and saw – you know, how they ran up and down the field against them. So it's definitely a team that I still watched out for.
Just apologize if you already answered this one, but Coach mentioned that you had offers from a couple teams, just made the Saints the move.
I'm sorry.
Coach said you had offers from a couple teams, just what made the Saints the move for you?
The atmosphere of the team. Coach Thomas played a huge role in that. He was my running back coach in college, so I was familiar with his coaching style and what his expectations. Coach Payton actually called me, and that was big. It showed that you know they really wanted me. So the 7-game win streak, you know, it's a lot of different factors that, that came together to make this the perfect situation. I'm excited to be here.
And just what kind of what do they you know talk to you about as far as your role that they envision for you?
You know, teach me a little bit of the offense, you know, parts of it, learning special teams as well. So I'm willing to do whatever it takes for me to help this team continue the streak. And keep winning games.
That's pretty short notice, but can you be game ready for Sunday?
I can. Like I said, like Coach Thomas, the reason that was a big reason why I wanted to come here. I'm used to the way he teaches. He's a real good teacher of the game. You know, he's gonna have a couple plays for me, and you know, specific things in the offense that you know I can learn and be ready to play and play fast. So I think it's a great situation to be in.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, remember Sheldon Rankins last week with that big interception in the win over Buffalo. And, J.D., you're starting to see the progression in Sheldon Rankins at one. I didn't think he had that kind of speed after he had that interception, but he was running down that field. It looked impressive.
I don't know if he's ready for the running back drills just yet, but Big Rank, as they like to call him, or Shaba, as Cam Jordan likes to call him, got his first career interception. And he had some flashbacks. You know, guys usually have played fullback or running back at some points in their lives. So he did look pretty nimble for a big fella. His stats don't necessarily show the effectiveness he's had this season. And a lot of times that happens at defensive tackle. I mean, you know, we look at the Aaron Donalds of the world, and those guys are kind of freakish in that they get a ton of sacks and, you know, they get the really nice, flashy statistics. Sheldon doesn't necessarily need to do that for this team, but his impact obviously is felt by his defensive line teammates. They love him to death, and he's a pretty good character too.
He also spoke to the media on Wednesday following practice. Here's what he had to say leading into the game against the Redskins on Sunday.
You know, at this level, you know, your window of opportunity is so small. So when you have something special, you got to cherish it. And I think he sees that. He's going to do everything he can to get every ounce of ability out of all of us.
Do you think it helps that you said there's guys around who have won before? Right. I think it helps how many people in this locker room have been through 3 straight 7-9 seasons. Are they some of the ones?
Yeah, I think it does help because you know those are the same guys who, you know, listen to everyone say Saints defense is terrible. It's the worst we've ever seen. Those are the same guys who are a part of that defense. So, you know, I think it does help because you know. Like I said, they've been at the lowest point. They've seen it all, done it all, and now to be able to experience the success, you know, they're happy about it, but at the same time, they're like, hold on, wait a minute, you know, we're not quite there yet. So I think it, you know, kind of reins, you know, us young guys in, you know, sometimes and allows us to keep moving forward day by day and try to get better.
Is it easy to manage that emotion now that you guys are having success? Is it easy to manage it and kind of and keep it in check?
I think it's easier than a lot of people make it. You know, I think, like I said, I mean, you know, 7-2 is great, but, you know, 7-2 isn't the end of the season, you know. So I think guys understand that, you know, we still have, you know, a tough road ahead. We still got to play Atlanta twice, still got to play Carolina again. Tampa's a division opponent again. You know, Washington this week, you know, the Rams are clicking on all cylinders as well. So, I mean, we still have a tough road ahead, but we got to take it one week at a time and just try to improve each week and go 1-0 each week.
Yeah, didn't get a chance to talk to you after the game, but did you get a flashback, you know, some fullback moves there or what?
Yeah, man. When the ball hit my hands, just kind of, you know, natural ability took over and natural instincts. And I smelled the pylon and I was trying to get there. Came up 3 yards short, but I'll take it. My guy Mark got his first career 3-touchdown game, so hey, I'm happy.
You taking running back drills this week?
They haven't said anything about it yet, but I will not decline if they ask me to do so. I'll say that.
Moving on to the Pelicans, Wednesday night's game against the Raptors wasn't exactly what they were expecting, but we did have Rajon Rondo playing a little bit more minutes than he did on Monday's night, and he started. So, JD, we're having a few issues, turnovers being one of them, but what else did you see that caused that loss?
Well, they managed to actually cut down on the turnovers. They got down from an average of 21 a game from the previous two down to 14, so they managed to handle that somewhat, and Rondo probably had something to do with that. He's a pretty good caretaker of the ball. What the Pels have had right now is they've been unable to defend the three effectively. The previous two opponents, Atlanta, and then they come back again against Toronto, and those guys combined for 33 for 70 from three-point range. That's 47%. And that's too high on any level. That's too high in biddy ball. I mean, so you can get to the NBA when you shoot it that well. That means you're not defending it particularly well. Now, I know Coach Gentry post-game was not very happy that his two star players were on the bench for much of that. But you know what? It doesn't matter who's on the floor. You've got to be able to defend that three-point line, especially when you see the opponent is effectively making those threes. And they paid for it these last couple of games. Having Rondo back, though, gave you some glimpses of what this team could be. Now, I don't know if they'll be this every game or if they'll be this for 48 minutes every game, but his mentality and his mindset, I think, forces everyone into an unselfish mindset and gets the ball movement, and everybody's, you know, making cuts and they're moving off the ball and they're being extremely unselfish with one another. We saw that for the entire first half when he was in there, and really the offense stagnated a lot when he went to the bench for the second half. He was on that minutes restriction. He only played 14 minutes, but he had 8 assists during those 14 minutes. And I think he only had 1 turnover. So he looked very crisp in his efforts out there. Now, is every game going to be an 8 assist, 1 turnover game? Of course not. I mean, he's not going to play that clean every game. But the mentality that he brings to the team, in that the extra pass is a great pass. You pass up a good shot to get a teammate a great shot. And I think that rubbed off, and we saw a lot of that when he was on the floor. So hopefully that will be something that we'll continue to see when he's playing.
So the Pelicans fell to the Raptors on Wednesday night, 125-116, still 2-1 on the homestand, and we'll get ready for the Denver Nuggets tonight. In Denver, after the game, head coach Alvin Gentry and Darius Miller spoke to the media.
Coach, I'm looking over the box score, and on a strange night, it seems to point to 3-point numbers tonight. Is it as simple as that in the loss here against Toronto?
Yeah. I mean, I think they, obviously, if you look at the box, we shot the ball well and shot the ball well from three. But they it's plus 18 from three, and that was kind of the difference in the game. Other than the fact that our two best players were sitting on the bench for most of the first half with foul trouble.
Coach, when you took the floor again in the second half, can you describe what the third quarter was like? It seemed to be different than some of the other quarters that you played tonight.
No, they just, they did a really good job of putting us in screen and roll, made some shots. DeRozan made shots, and that's where they got the separation. And then we were playing uphill the rest of the way.
Coach, how did it look with Rondo starting tonight?
I thought he was fine. You know, obviously you look at his numbers and had eight assists in a very limited minutes, and just the pace of the game change, and you know, just he's very good at quarterbacking the game and understanding, you know, where our advantages and everything are. And I thought he did a good job when he was out there. But it's hard to do that when your best two players are sitting on the bench in foul trouble.
Was it a defensive deficiency tonight in the perimeter, or was that just a hot shooting?
No, they shot the ball well. You know, they did a really good job, and You know, I thought they played well, and I thought we were playing well until our best two players were sitting on the bench in foul trouble.
Do you think there's something in particular you guys have to do to defend the three-point line a little bit better?
Well, I mean, most of them were challenged threes, so, you know, some teams shoots it well, and this is one of the teams that shoot it well. They hadn't been, but, you know, they've been a much better shooting team than they have in the past. And, you know, maybe if our best two players weren't in foul trouble, you know, we maybe could have challenged more of them.
I mentioned that a few times. Was there something you saw? I mean, you feel like those calls were unfortunate?
Didn't say anything about the calls at all. I just said it's hard for us to play without our best two players on the floor.
Darius, when you look at this one, it started off so hot for the Pelicans. Where did it get away?
They made a lot of shots. We gave them a lot of open looks. Some things in turnovers, but it's just all stuff that we can correct. I feel like it was mostly our fault, but they're a good team. They came out ready even after a back-to-back, and they took care of business.
How can you defend the three-point line better? They were really hot from beyond the arc.
I think a lot of it was communication, just stuff we need to work on within, like I said, within ourselves. But I think it's something that we'll get fixed and take care of. So,
with Rajon being in that first unit, it introduced different personnel in the second unit with each one being there. Was that a bit of an adjustment, learning to play together?
I don't think so, really. I don't think so. I mean, I feel like we've had enough time together where we all know each other's game and can play and play off of each other. So I don't really think so. I just think it was one of those nights, honestly.
What do you think of Rajon playing more minutes tonight and being able to get as many assists and make plays?
I mean, you've seen the effect that he had on the game and on such a short amount of time. So we're just waiting for him to get back. Everybody knows how good of a player he is. And I think the leadership role that he brings will help us on the court, too.
All right, so next up for the Pelicans, the 8-6 Denver Nuggets tonight in Denver, Colorado. Just a one-game road trip. And JD, a Nuggets team that is 8-6, probably will be battling with the Pelicans all year long for a playoff spot. A game that, not a must win, but a game that you probably need to get.
Well, you'd like to win it if you're the Pelicans. Yeah. I mean, you're half game behind them, so this is a team that you are going to be forced to deal with the entire season. Denver is a nice, up-and-coming, young team, and these are the type teams that the Pels really need to beat. These teams, teams like Atlanta, the teams that you're supposed to beat, the teams you're even with, and hopefully steal a couple from the teams ahead of you in the standings, those are the kind of wins that get you in the playoffs. Denver has some young talent. We know they've got Jamal Murray. They've got Moutier, the point guard. They also have Jokic, who is a formidable big, extremely versatile. And fortunately, the Pels have some formidable bigs to deal with him in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. But by no means will this be an easy game for the Pels. They usually have trouble with Denver in Denver. I don't know if it's the altitude, but look, it is a distinguished advantage. I don't care what anybody says. You get there, and players notice it. It takes, you know, maybe a quarter or so, a half a quarter, to kind of get that burn together and get your wind together up there at that altitude. So hopefully the Pels will be ready for them on tonight.
Thanks for the update, JD. Coming up next, I sat down with the head of the New Orleans Business Alliance to talk about the new company coming, DXC Technology, and how the Saints and Pelicans were an influence in this move. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Messer.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so the city of New Orleans has had quite a week.
Indeed, we have.
Can you tell us what is DXC Technologies?
But first of all, I want to congratulate the Saints and the Pelicans. It's good to have winning teams. So we began with the Saints victory, but DXC Technology made an incredible announcement on Monday. DXC Technology is the combination of Legacy HP, Legacy Computer Science Corporation. So you basically have two of the most iconic names in high tech coming together to create a Fortune 250 company. And what they're going to develop here in New Orleans is a digital transformation center, which simply means that they are committed to leveraging digital innovation technology to make all industry, whether it's healthcare, whether it's cybersecurity, more effective and make it more customer facing and better for all of us as citizens.
So how will it impact the city and the state of Louisiana?
That's a great question. I mean, the better question may be, how won't it impact it? I mean, when you can bring over 2,000 direct jobs, and these are high-paying jobs, paying over $60,000, that will lead to more than an equal number of indirect jobs. And then the induced jobs, whether it's the sandwich shop, whether it's the dry cleaner, You have thousands of jobs that are going to come. And further, what this says is New Orleans is diversifying beyond just some of our core legacy industries, which are critically important. We are validating the fact that New Orleans is a high-tech hub. And it's not just New Orleans. It's the entire Gulf South region. And it also involves, the great thing about this company is they were critically wanting to focus on developing human capital. So this is going to be tremendous for our higher ed institutions, whether it be our 2- and 4-year universities, whether they be public or private, whether they be HBCU or predominantly white institutions. So this is going to be an incredible win. And I think we're going to look back on this day 10 years from now. Hopefully we'll be celebrating a Super Bowl win for the Saints, and then hopefully our Pelicans will hold up the O'Brien Trophy, and then we'll say, man, DXC technology was a big part of that.
Yes, that would be amazing for sure.
I'm a huge sports fan.
I can tell. That's good, though. This is a sports show, so.
Well, you know. You're living my fantasy. That's what I really would rather be doing.
Am I? Yes. We can switch. No, I'm just kidding. So how long was the process of getting DXC technology, and what was the role of New Orleans Business Alliance?
So it's a great question. So this process actually began almost 2 years ago. And typically what happens is the state of Louisiana, through their Department of Economic Development, LED, will work with companies. And DXC hired a consultant who basically said, we're looking to open this digital transformation center. Over 30 plus cities throughout the country raised their hand and said, hey, pick us, pick us.
Right.
And then what happens, you have a down selection. So that 36 is whittled down to 10. And then again, it's whittled from 10 to 6. At 6, it basically came, the state of Louisiana said, hey, look, we've got two cities that make sense for you, Baton Rouge and New Orleans. So once it becomes focused on New Orleans, that's when we at the New Orleans Business Alliance gets involved. And we basically say, hey, look, we believe that there's no other city in America that's more compelling for companies that want to have high impact, want to be around millennials, and want to be a part of a city that's creative, vibrant, and has a global brand recognition. So that's how we got involved, and we got involved almost a year ago.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So without the New Orleans Business Alliance, we might not have this.
I would never say without. I mean, it was, as with everything in athletics and in life, it's a team effort. It took the state, from our Governor John Bel Edwards, to our Secretary of Economic Development Don Pearson, to our Mayor, Mayor Mitchell Andrew, to our city's Department of Economic Development, our partners at GNO Inc. So it was a collaborative effort with higher ed. The Saints and Pelicans were incredibly helpful. SMG was incredibly helpful. It takes a lot of people to basically say to a Fortune 250 company, you've got all these other cities out there, pick us. And we are grateful to the entire Saints and Pelicans organization for their help in this process as well.
So for those who may not know, because I know I didn't, and I'm new to the state and the city, mm-hmm. What is the New Orleans Business Alliance?
So that's a great question, and sometimes I even ask myself that. Now, the New Orleans Business Alliance is a public-private partnership that is focused on growing the New Orleans economy and providing quality jobs and wealth-creating opportunities for all New Orleanians. So we are the people that every time that there is a business opportunity, we want to make that opportunity come here to New Orleans. And so that's our role in this process.
And when was it started?
So the New Orleans Business Alliance was started in 2010. It was a public-private partnership between city government led by Mayor Landry and the business community. And we have been in existence ever since.
So how are the Pelicans and the Saints involved?
Well, the Pelicans Saints have been involved in really three ways. One, I think showing the support of corporate leadership when you have folks like Dennis Lauscher and Ben Hales coming to meetings and basically engaging the company and welcoming them with open arms in the business community. Secondly, one of the things we were doing, you can't reveal all your secrets. It's like revealing all the game plays. You can't tell everything. But the Saints and Pelicans were a big part of providing a very unique experience for the company when they were in the selection process. And last, I think the Saints and Pelicans are going to be a critical part of welcoming the company and helping them become enculturated to New Orleans. So we're very excited for their partnership.
When you're recruiting businesses, mm-hmm. How often is it that the Saints and the Pelicans help influence?
I think it's as often as we ask. And I think the onus is on us to ask more often, because I can't tell you how appreciative and open Dennis and Ben and the rest of the the Saints Pelican family have been. So really, the onus is on us. They're always there. And I tell you, having a winning team really helps a lot because that brings national awareness. Oh, New Orleans, the Saints,
right.
Or the Pelicans, and Anthony Davis, and Drew Brees, and all the other wonderful men who are a part of the athletic teams really help with the national consciousness. You wouldn't believe how many businessmen and businesswomen who are incredible sports fans, and many of them have Drew Brees as their starting quarterback in their fantasy football team.
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I always try to draft him, but he's already gone
already?
By the time I get there.
Got to move faster than
there
that.
There you go. There you go.
So clearly you are a sports fan.
I'm a huge sports
and
fan.
And we are a sports show.
Yes.
So can you please give us some Saints and Pelicans predictions for the rest? We'll say, for Saints, let's give a year prediction. Like, what are we thinking here?
I'm thinking that it's very clear that we are probably going to go to the NFC Championship game. I feel very confident about that. The defense is playing well. I think you've got some great balance on offense. You got to love the way Coach Payton is integrating Mark Ingram and Kamara. Conversion rate on third down is highly exceptional. We're not turning the ball over. The defense is really, with Cameron Jordan and the secondary is really coming together. The key is to stay injury-free.
Yeah.
And so I think that certainly the NFC Championship game is definitely within reach. On the Pelicans, I mean, the West is rugged. Yeah. But when you really look at our big man duo with Boogie and AD, when those guys are rolling, there is no one that they are our matchup nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I think the key is going to be Drew Holiday and Rondo's health. I will also tell you that I was at the game last night. It wasn't a win, but I was very encouraged because when you looked at that second unit, that's a second unit that can really compete and score. You're not going to have a lot of drop off once you go to the second and fourth quarters when you have those substitute at the quarter change.
We might have to add him to our Black and Blue report.
Well, I like I said, my wife would love it because she said, you missed your calling. Because she said, if I can get you off the couch and finally earn some money or do something valuable with this sports knowledge, that would be helpful. But I would love to come back and break down film with anybody. Because, I mean, there's nothing, and I would say this, that we're really grateful for the leadership of the Benson family as civic leaders and what they're doing in the local business community, bringing back Dixie Bear. You know, stepping up the Saints and Pelicans has been tremendous, but there's nothing that builds character and teamwork more than competitive sports. So we're grateful to what the Saints and Pelicans are doing in our community.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
All right, time to wrap things up here from the Ochsner Sports Performance Center. A busy weekend for both the Pelicans and the Saints tonight. Pelicans and Nuggets, it's a late one, 9:30. It will be broadcast on ESPN nationally. Locally on the radio, News Talk 99.5 WRNO. I'll have the pregame for you at 9 o'clock. And then Sean Kelly and Victor Howell will have the call at 9:30. Then don't forget about Sunday. Saints and Redskins from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Saints look for 8 in a row. Join Sean Kelly, John DeShazer, and Mike Haas pregame at 9:45 on NewOrleansSaints.com and the Saints mobile app. And then Saints and Redskins at noon on Fox. And then also locally on the radio on WWL. And then don't forget, Sean Kelly will have a recap for you on the Saints postgame show presented by Verizon. And hopefully on Monday, we'll be talking about a Pelicans win against the Nuggets and a Saints win against the Redskins. For Cindy Robinson, John DeShazer, I'm Daniel Salerson. Thanks for watching the Black and Blue Report.